for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday morning, December the 30th, 1993. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Larry Bloomquist of Arlington, Texas, is the speaker of the morning.
I don't remember where or how we come to meet the Bloomquists, Brother and Sister Bloomquist, but they called and wanted to come visit us one time here a couple of years ago. Mm-hmm. And we've just enjoyed their fellowship ever since. Been down to their place in Arlington.
In Arlington.
Arlington.
Right.
Once, and they've been up here several times, and it was just a privilege to have them come this camp meeting. I tried to get them up here a couple other times. They've always had such an itinerary of their own. He runs around all over the country in Mexico, and but we're glad that they came for a couple of days, and he's going to minister the word of the Lord to us this morning.
Amen. Well, you know, this is a good watering hole here, and so we have come here to be ministered to and to be fed and to be watered, and this strengthens and encourages and blesses us, so you know, when we get back on the road again, at least we have some kind of anchor point to hold fast to. And this is one of the problems that we can find in traveling ministry, is that you're giving out and there's nothing really feeding you. And so we need to pay this very careful attention as to not only our natural diet, but we also need to pay attention to our spiritual diet. And so this place, Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, is part of our spiritual diet. And that the Word of God strengthens, the Word of God provides, and just keeps us going. But this is a time to celebrate, isn't it? We're celebrating Jesus. You know, the Christmas season has passed, and we consider this a time to celebrate, but we celebrate the Christ each day. And that we don't come to celebrate sickness. We don't come to celebrate diseases. We don't come to celebrate poverty. We don't come to celebrate problems. We come to celebrate the Lord. And so this is what we want to do today, and this is what we've been doing since we've been here, is celebrating Jesus, celebrating the Lord. And that the Lord just loves each one of us so much, and I sometimes marvel at the love that Jesus has for each one of us. And that so many times we just feel unworthy. We don't feel like we really deserve the love of God, but God created us so that He could love us. And when we have that basic understanding that God is love and that He created us so that He could care for us and love us, is that then, regardless of what our mindset may say, is that we open up our hearts to the love of God. This morning, I was shaving, looking in the mirror and shaving, and the Spirit of God just rose up within me, and He said, "Larry, you need to learn how to live with me. You need to learn how to live with me." The Lord does not give us these instructions unless there is some deficiency in our spiritual life. He doesn't tell us these things unless He has a purpose for taking us on into another realm of fellowship and relationship with Him. And of course, the first thing we oftentimes want to do is that we want to rationalize a little bit and say, "Oh Lord, you know, am I not living with You?" And that we discover that when we begin to consider what the Spirit of God is saying to the church, what He is saying to me is that there needs to be a change in your life. This is the season of change. This is the era of change. You might even say it's the dispensation of change. And so as I take that word from God that was given to me this morning, Larry, you need to learn how to live with Me, is that we become dependent upon Him to show us how we can live with Him. So many believers want to live for Him, but there is a difference in living for and living with. And that if we are going to be partners with the Lord, partner ourselves with Him, then we must learn how to live with Him. In Psalm chapter 91, that there is the very basis for moving on into that realm that the Lord spoke to my heart about. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is He who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with His pinions, and under His wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, or the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side, and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. For you have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil will befall you, nor will any plague come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge concerning you, to guard you in all your ways. They will bear you up in their hands, lest you strike your foot against a stone. You will tread upon the lion and cobra, the young lion and the serpent you will trample down. Because He has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high, because He has known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation." Praise God. Learning how to live with the Lord. We can get so caught up in our own daily affairs or daily problems, the perplexities of life, that all we do is simply give lip service to the Lord. We are not actually committing and dedicating ourselves that, "Lord God, I am in that process of learning how to live with You." The Christian life is to be a very rewarding life. And it's not out here seeking how many blessings we can obtain for ourselves or try to make God do something that he won't do. But it's relationship. It's a relationship. And we have heard much about relationships just in the couple days that Jane and I have been here. And so we do have that Lord of relationship. Deliverance is part of the relationship ministry. Learning how to live with Him is another aspect of relationship ministry. And so God is moving in the earth today, breaking down barriers of one kind or another, and ministering to us in such a personal way that He identifies Himself with us, and He speaks to our heart, and in turn He wants us to identify ourselves with Him and speak to the heart of God. This is covenant relationship in that particular sense. And so, just as the Lord ministered to me this morning, simple statement, simple truth, but it's something that we can take a hold of, is that you need to learn how to walk with me. And when we take that as a kernel or a nugget of truth as to what God wants to do in our lives, things begin to happen. Praise God. Well, the Lord has a word for the congregation here, and that like I heard someone say since we've been here, is that the Lord has never really stopped talking. It's just that people have stopped listening, and we're to be hearers of the word, and then not only the hearers, but we're also to be the doers. Amen. And the Spirit of the Lord will say to His people that this is the day that the Lord has made, and I desire that you rejoice and you be glad in it. I desire that you be as a people that put your faith and your trust and your dependence upon me. Let the meditations of your heart and the words that you speak from your lips, let them be acceptable in the eyes of the Lord. I've called you to be a nation of people that represent me wherever you are. And do you represent the Lord even to yourself? Do you represent the Lord to your family? Do you represent the Lord in the many places that you go? And as I have called you to be my representatives, I desire that you represent me in every aspect of your life. And do not be a people that forget me in a time and where that you need me. There are those, many of those that need me, but in their time of need, they forget. And so do not be as a forgetful people. Do not be as a forgetful nation. But remember the things of the Lord and know the Word of God, and to know that I am steadfast, and know that you shall be as unmovable, and that you shall be as a people that abound in the good works of the Lord. I'm saying these things to you this day because there is change that is coming even to this earth. There is change that is coming to this nation. There is change that is coming even into this ministry here. And there is change that is coming into your lives. And as this is that season, and is that time of change, I desire that you be as a people that will concentrate on the good things of the Lord, and to open up your hearts and to yield yourself to me. Open up your heart and yield to me with a simplicity of faith. I'm not a complicated God, but I will minister to you in that simple way, and you shall be able to minister to me in that simple way, and we shall have that good fellowship, we shall have that good relationship, and where you shall understand me, and I shall understand you, and there shall be that openness, there shall be that freshness, there shall be that relationship, and there shall be that fresh outpouring of my Holy Spirit. And I pour out my Holy Spirit upon you afresh, even today. There are those of you within the hearing of this voice, is that you are in the waters to your ankles, that I say to you, that I have given you waters to swim in. Do not be satisfied with water to your ankles. Do not be satisfied with water to your knees, but be as a people that learn how to swim with the things of God, swimming with the love of the Holy Spirit, swimming with the power of the Holy Spirit, yielding yourself to the Holy Spirit of God that is in you. And you shall be as a mighty people. You shall be as a mighty nation. You shall be as mighty believers, because I desire to plant within each of you that mighty spirit, that valiant heart, and being as a part of the family of God that goes forward with victory and goes forward with the evidence of the Lord in your lives, and as you do these things, is that you shall make a difference, and there shall be that change, and you shall be strong in the good things of the Lord. And behold, I do a new thing. As I have spoken to you, that there is that outpouring of my Holy Spirit, come to the waters. There is a vast supply of waters. Do not be satisfied with the things of old, but look forward to the things that are as new. And as the water was changed into wine, it is that new wine. And you are a new wine people. And as you thirst and hunger after the things of God, and as you apply these things to your heart and to your life, is that you shall be my new wine people, and the anointing of the Lord shall be upon you, and you shall do those exploits in the name of the Lord, and there shall be the signs, there shall be the wonders, there shall be the miracles, and you shall be as a people that make a difference. And so I'm saying these things to you here today, because you are as the flock of God. I created you. You are my sons. You are my daughters. And I created you in my likeness and in my image. And I shall work with you so that you will take on the very character of Christ. I'll work with you so that you can be more than overcomers in this life. I will work with you so that you shall know the success of the Holy Spirit. I shall work with you where you shall know the prosperity of the Lord. I shall work with you where that you shall be delivered from these things that beset you. I shall work with you and where you shall have your confidence, not in the arm of flesh, but you shall have your confidence in the Lord. I shall work with you and where there shall be a peace that passes all understanding. I shall work with you and where that you shall know the mighty name of Jesus. I shall work with you and you shall do things according to the ways of the Lord. I shall work with you, and you shall know the disciplined hand of the Lord. I shall work with you in all of these things, because you're a nation of people that I am drawing together. You're a nation of people that I am bringing together. You're a nation of people that shall represent me. And you shall not be speaking your own truth, but you shall be speaking the truth of God. And you shall not be declaring yourselves to one another, but you shall be declaring the things of God to one another. And so, my children, I speak and I say these things to you because of the heart of the Lord is toward you. Yes, I am a God of judgment. Yes, I am a God of discipline. Yes, I am that God of love. Yes, I am that God of peace. And I shall be everything to you that you will let me be. As I told Moses, I am the I am. I say to you this day is that as am I the I am of your life? Are you allowing me to be the I am? If you say, yes, I'm allowing you to be the I am, what part of your life are you allowing me to be the great I am? I do not desire to be the I am in only part of your life, but I desire to be the I am in all of your life. And so do not exclude the I am, but include me. And as you include me as your I am, then you shall know the revelation of God. You shall know the peace of God. You shall know the righteousness of the Lord. You shall know holiness. You shall know perfection. You shall know these things. And I say to you that as you allow me to be that part of your life, is that you shall go forward in grace. You shall go forward in victory. You shall go forward in power. You shall not look back, but you shall go forward. And so I am speaking these things, and I'm sharing these things with you, because the time is short, and surely this is that time of preparation. So allow me to prepare you. Allow me to do that which I desire to do in your life. And as I have spoken, is that you need to learn how to live with me. And I speak and I say to you, Lord, yes, I desire to learn how to live with you. Teach me your ways, saith the Lord. Amen. Praise God. What did we hear the Spirit of God say? Is there something that was spoken by the Spirit of the Lord and ministered to you in a particular way that you would just like to share back with us? Yes, Bill? Amen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Anyone else?
Protection and care.
Protection, care.
that our fellowship with Him in prayer needs to be much more conversational toward us, so that we then can be meaningful and power toward Him.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Love that divine conversation that you and David have.
Praise the Lord. Okay, someone else. Honey?
Bring about the character of Christ in us.
In us, uh-huh. Amen. Yes, uh-huh. Yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, it is. It certainly is. Uh-huh. Yes. All right. Anybody else? Praise God. That's what we need. Glory to God. Praise God. Yes. The Lord is so gracious to His people. So gracious. Praise the Lord. Have a word for the lady in the back there where she got the word about a husband. Yeah. And the Spirit will say to you, my daughter, that I have placed you upon the potter's wheel, and you are as clay that is being fashioned, formed, and shaped by the hand of God. You've been on the potter's wheel before, but it's been by the hands of men. And so now I say to you, my daughter, that I take you. Remold you according to the hand of the Lord. And the beauty of the Lord shall shine through you. And you're a woman that has been frustrated many times down through the years. And your frustration has resulted in fear, anxiety, doubt, defeat. And you have known more defeat than you have known success. But my daughter, I say to you that this day, beginning this day, as you are being reshaped by my hand, is that you shall no longer suffer defeat, but you shall know victory. And you shall know that it's victory because the hand of the Lord is upon you. And so be quiet in your spirit. There is as that uprising in your spirit within you. And there is that doubt, there is that fear, there is that wondering whether God really cares for you. And I say to you that I do care. I do care for you. And let the old things pass away, and behold, let all things become as new. There shall be a renewal of your spirit. There shall be a renewal of your mind. There shall be even new thoughts. There shall be new attitudes, because as I take you and as I shape you and as I mold you, is that you shall be conformed more and more on into the image of the Lord. And so these are good and fruitful days, and I desire that you come to me with gentleness in your heart, that you come to me with faith in your heart, that you come to me knowing that you are a believer. And as you come to me, is that you shall know that you're on the potter's wheel. There will be some changes. There will be many changes. But allow me to do that work within you. And even as some of the changes are being made, you shall cry out to the Lord. But simply cry out to the Lord and let me make the change. And so, my daughter, I speak and I say these things because beginning this day is that there shall be that change of heart, there shall be that change of attitude, there shall be the freshness of the Spirit, and you shall no longer think like you have been thinking, but you shall reach out in faith and touch the hem of my garment, saith the Lord. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God. Dottie? The Lord has a word for you. And the Spirit of the Lord will say to you, Dottie, that you're a woman of gentleness, you're a woman of purpose, you're a woman of kindness, a woman of compassion, and a woman of purpose. And I'm placing a purpose within your life, beginning even this day. And that purpose shall be to extol the Lord. That purpose shall be as a servant to the Most High God. And I say to you that you are that handmaiden of the Lord. And you shall have that ministry of ministering to the Lord. And I shall teach you and I shall show you how to minister in spirit and in truth. And as the Spirit of the Lord is further released in you, that the very truth of God shall be made alive within you. And there shall no longer be any confusion, but there shall be that revelation knowledge, revelation wisdom, godly understanding that shall come into your life. And as I share these things with you, that you shall be that woman of purpose. You shall be as that one that knows how to intercede. You shall be that woman of prayer. You shall be that handmaiden of the Lord. And the day shall come in the time that is ahead that you shall even teach the word of God to other women, that there shall be that gathering together in your home, and that they shall gather around, and there shall be that sharing of who I am, and the word of the Lord shall flow forth from you, and lives shall be changed, lives shall be blessed, and I give to you the gifts of healings, and you shall pray for the sick, and they shall recover, and by that spirit of revelation you shall have that gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of the word of wisdom, and the gift of discerning of spirits, because there shall be those that will come, and that they shall be oppressed, they shall be even obsessed, but by the gentleness of the Spirit and by the gifts of the Spirit is that you shall minister to them in that particular way. And so I'm saying these things to you because you are a woman of purpose, and you shall be like that one that is willing to sit at the feet of the teacher, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I shall minister my compassion to you, my love to you, my hope and my faith to you. And you shall be just like that sponge, that you shall absorb the compassion of the Lord. You shall absorb the love of the Lord. You shall absorb the peace of God. And as you absorb these things, is that people shall draw upon you. And you shall show compassion to those that I will have you to show compassion. And you will speak words of life to those that need words of life, because you are a woman that shall drink of the living waters, and you are that woman that shall give living waters. And so the circumstances that are in your life is that they shall change, and you shall have no longer living with circumstances, but you shall be living with purpose, saith the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to the Lord. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. The Lord is good, isn't he? Mm-hmm. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Kathy, the Lord has a word for you. And the Spirit will say to you, Kathy, that I have softened your heart. Your heart was hard, but the Spirit of the living Christ has softened your heart. And there shall be that further softening, because you shall become that woman that is malleable in the hands of the Lord. And you shall be willing to be shaped. You shall be willing to be formed. You shall be willing to be worked with by the Holy Spirit of God. And so the things of days gone by, the disappointments, the discouragements, the hurt, and even as there has been that injury of the heart and that injury of the mind, and there has been even that time in the past and where you separated yourself from me, is that you have reached out and you have touched me and I have touched you, and you and I are as in fellowship with one another. I desire a deeper relationship with you. Do not let it be just as a surface relationship, but let it be as a deepened relationship. Commit your ways to the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, but have that heart to say, Lord, I submit myself to you. Lord, I yield myself to you. And as you will do these things, is that you find that your heart shall become more malleable, your heart shall become more soft, and there shall be that desire within you to know the ways of the Lord in that increased way. And so I shall teach you of my ways. I desire that you be that willing student, because I am that willing teacher. And as we have a willing student, and as I am that willing teacher, is that there shall be much that shall be taught to you, and that you shall become that student, and you shall have that thirst and that hunger for the things of God. And so these are days and times of change for you. There shall be that change of heart. There shall be that change of mind. There shall be that change of purpose. There shall be that change of self-observation. And I speak and I say to you that I love you. I love you with the heart of the Father. And I have a soft heart toward you. And I desire that you open up your heart toward the heart of God. And as I speak to you this day and to tell you that the love of God is upon you, the love of God is with you, is that you simply reach out and that you receive and that you take to you that which I have for you, because I am your nourishment. I am your life. And you need to be nourished by the love of God. You have the acceptance of the Lord, and you need to know and understand in your own heart, in your own life, that you are accepted by the Lord. You have been rejected, but I have given you acceptance. And so as there is that acceptance that has come to you from me, is that take that now. Take that you are accepted of the Lord. Believe it. Act upon it. And it shall soften your heart. And as you do this, there shall be that change that shall come upon you. And you shall have a different attitude even toward your family. You shall have a different attitude toward the Lord. You shall have a different attitude to the purpose and the calling of God that is in your life. And you shall be as a counselor in the body of Christ in the days that are ahead. And that there shall be those that have been rejected. There are those that have been set aside, those that have been hurt. For those that need a renewal in their own spirit, is that you shall be able to reach out and touch them with the simple, gentle, compassionate words of kindness. And so you are precious in the eyes of the Lord, and I place my jewels upon you, and you shall reflect the light and the life of Christ in the days that are ahead, saith the Lord. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Uh-huh. You know, the Lord loves his people, you know, just so much. And we really need that assurance from God that he loves us. I have shared here before, but I'll just share very briefly again, is that I thought I always loved the Lord. I thought I'd always loved the Lord. I thought I'd loved the Lord even when I wasn't saved. I tried to get saved when I was 12, 13, 14 years old, but somehow or another, it just didn't work. I didn't get saved. And, of course, you know, with a young man and a young mind, I felt like, well, you know, I can't really get saved, and I don't know that the Lord really loves me because I don't have enough education and the things of God. And so I just, in one sense, when I was 13 or 14, just sort of gave up. But I didn't give up having respect and honor and love the best that I knew toward God. And love is a sort of a difficult thing. Is that in my heart I love God, but I did not honor him with the love that I had. And I really didn't know whether God loved me or not. The Word of God says God is love, but sometimes we sort of pick and choose. We say, well, you know, he can love everybody else, but, you know, surely he doesn't love me. And so, you know, the old enemy comes, or the flesh comes, and tries to take away the blessings of God. But anyway, 1972 or 1973, is it, got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and God knew what my needs were. And just as I knelt at the altar and this Episcopal priest came and laid hands upon me and prayed for me to receive the Holy Spirit is that God's love just came descending upon me like a cylinder of love. I did not ask for that. What I asked for was the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But God knew my heart. He knew my circumstance. He knew my situation. He knew. And He knew that I needed a demonstration. I needed that assurance. I needed something to identify that God is love. And so the Lord just showered me with that love of God, and I knew that I knew that I knew that God loved me. And so when I knew that God loved me, it changed my whole heart. It changed my perspective. It changed my attitude. I came through a life of change because I knew, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that God loved me. And I know that there are some of you here today, is that, you know, you're having a little bit of trouble knowing whether God loves you or not. Be assured. Be assured. Be confident that God does. Amen? All right. We're not eating today, so I guess we can do what God wants us to do. Huh? Hallelujah.
When you get through, we'll have prayer.
Amen. We need that, don't we?
Over
the letters. No, we'll be... We'll be through at 12. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father God, just as we are gathered together here today, Lord, just let the Spirit of God just flow through us. May we not be so concerned about what is or what isn't, but Lord, let your Holy Spirit move. Let your Spirit move. Let the lives of people be touched. Thank you, Lord. Father, just as we share this word here now, Lord, let it be words of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Turn with me to Romans chapter 14. There's someone here that needs a healing in the lower back. You've been having problems in the lower back, just right at the belt line, and God wants to touch and heal you. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hang on, come in. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we place our hands upon our brother in Christ, and he's responding to this need that you have pointed out. And so I just speak to this back and command that the pain be gone in the name of Jesus. No more pain. Touch and heal the back. Touch and heal the spine. We take authority over any misplaced disc. We take authority over any fractured nerve. So, Father, just touch and heal him from the top of his head to the soles of his feet and from fingertip to fingertip. In the name of Jesus, be healed. Amen. Praise God. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. We're talking about kingdom living. And that I've heard that several times since we have been here. But Romans 14:17 says, "The kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." Now the Word of God is telling us here what the kingdom of God is not. And we need to know what it is not. But we also need to know what the kingdom of God is. And so in this word here today, the Lord is telling us that the kingdom of God is righteousness, it is peace, and it is joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, the kingdom of God is not real in many people's lives. You know, they read about the kingdom of God, the parables and things like this. But unless we know the kingdom of God, unless we believe in the kingdom of God, then we're not able to enjoy the blessings that God has for us in the kingdom. And so there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of the world. There's the kingdom of His dear Son. And God has come to bring us out of that realm of darkness and on into the light, and so that we can enjoy the blessings that God has already established for us, and so that we can have that abundant life and that victorious life. We like abundance, don't we? Well, we have a God of abundance. And so enjoying the abundant life is certainly within the scope and the framework of the kingdom of God. We know, too, that the Lord wants us to have a victorious life, and that there are many of us that at one time or another that we weren't living in victory. We were living in defeat. And so God wants to take that and turn defeat on into victory. But we have to learn how to live the victorious life. We have to learn how to live with the abundance that the Lord has for us. And when the Word of God comes to us, and like with the messages that we have heard since we have been here, this is all for us to have a more abundant life. It is for us to enjoy the reality of the kingdom of God. For us to come to that place and where we know God in God's way of wanting us to know Him. And so many believers is that we want to know Him according to the way that we want to know Him. And that doesn't suffice. That doesn't work. It doesn't really bring us on into that place and where that we have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so many of us is that we have our own concepts of who God is, what He desires to purpose in our lives. And so when we have our own image of who God is and what God is and what He wants to do in our life, so many times we miss the blessing that God has for us. But as we come into the kingdom of God living, is that we have a choice, and that we can live under Christ, or we can live under the rule of Satan. And that just as we heard, is that we can be a believer, but Satan still kind of rules and reigns in our life. It's not that dying to self. It's not that yielding. It's not that giving up our rights. It's this kind of thing. And so the Lord has been working in my own life is that you must be willing to give up your rights. We all have rights. But in the kingdom of God, we must be willing to give them up. We must be willing to die to ourselves. Paul says, I die daily, yet I live. And this is a premise in our lives that we really have not ventured on into, is that dying daily, giving ourselves over to the purposes of God, and knowing how to live with Him on a day-by-day basis. I can live with Him today, but what will I do tomorrow? And so living with God is a day-by-day thing. And we must learn how to live with Him. So, in Matthew chapter 28, you can turn there with me if you will, please. Matthew 28 and verses 19 and 20. The Word of God says, Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. And so now, this is the Great Commission. This is something that is just not charged to evangelists or fivefold ministry, but it is a word that is given to each one of us as a believer. And so, when we move on into the kingdom of God, is that we are to be a people that make disciples of all nations. We're to baptize, and we're to teach. And so this is a responsibility that we have within the kingdom of God. And when we do this, is that we take the eyes off of ourselves. We're a people that learn how to give. We learn how to distribute. We learn how to die to ourselves. We learn how to live with Him. And so, and what I'm wanting to share partly here today is that we need to examine ourselves. We need to take a look at ourselves. Are we living with pride? You know, there's a lot of pride in the body of Christ. Amen? A lot of pride. We can have pride in our preaching. We can have pride in the gifts. We can have pride in our education. We can have pride in most anything that we sort of hold dear to ourselves. But this is not what God wants us to have. He doesn't want us to live with pride. We also see, too, that in the world that there is the lust, there is the greed, there's the cruelty, there's war, there's poverty, there's sickness. And God has come to change all of this. He's a God of change. And He teaches us that pride comes before the fall. The Word of God teaches us that, you know, we're not to have lust of the heart or lust of the eyes, that we're not to be greedy or cruel or, you know, have that poverty spirit. And so many believers do have a poverty spirit. And not just in the natural realm, but also a spiritual poverty. And God wants us to come to that place and where that He has given us spiritual poverty, but He has given us spiritual abundance. And so just as just like the Lord was ministering to Dottie, is that He says that, you know, He's giving her a ministry of intercession, giving a ministry of teaching, giving a teaching of healing, or giving the gifts of healing and signs and wonders and miracles. And why does He do this? But it's to bring us to that place and where that we are willing to have that abundant spiritual life. And this is how God works in our heart, and he works in our lives. In the kingdom of God, as we allow Him to reign in our life, is that there's a humility that comes into our lives. There's a gentleness that comes. There's a contentment that comes into our lives. There's mercy. There's peace. Being fearless. Being capable. Amen? Being full of authority. And so many of us as believers is that we don't feel like we are able. We don't feel like we are capable. But the Word of God says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. And so that's a word of encouragement that we are capable. Amen? The Word of God says that we are full of authority. We have authority over the evil one. There's that time in my life and where I felt like I didn't have the capability. Nor did I have the authority. That's what I thought. But then there came that opportunity where the Lord was able to demonstrate to me that He has given me capabilities. That He has given me authority. And we were in this charismatic church in Anchorage, Alaska, and that I heard a prophecy. I think it was probably the first time I ever heard prophecy. And I've shared this before too, but it illustrates really what I want to say. And as I heard that prophetic word, I knew that it had to be from the heart of God. I just witnessed it in my spirit that it was from the heart of God. And so I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, I would like the gift of prophecy. Well, as I asked the Lord for the gift of prophecy, some weeks later is that it began to stir within me, and I really didn't know what it was. And so we're sort of on an exploration tour as to what is God doing in my life. And so I remember the first time that I stood up and prophesied that I discovered I was capable of prophesying. I was capable of it because I did it. I asked God for the gift. He made opportunity for the gift to be manifest, and I knew that I was capable. And this is the way God is in our lives, and He wants each one of us to know that we have His ability, and we are capable in the Spirit, but we may not be capable in the flesh, we are capable in the Spirit of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so when we recognize that we do have capabilities in God, is that there's that unlimited future with God that we haven't even explored yet. The kingdom of God is a vast kingdom. And many of us are just in the waters to our ankles. We're just in the waters to our knees. We're not swimming in the waters like the Word of God says that He wants us to do. And so if we're going to swim in the waters of God's Holy Spirit, is that then we must begin to trust Him. And because if we are just in water to the ankles, I can pretty well control that. If I'm in waters to my knees, I can control that too. But when I yield myself to swimming in the waters, there is a whole new set of principles that come into play. There's a whole new sense of dynamics. There's a whole new process, a whole new procedure that takes place when I just dive in and begin to swim in the waters of the Holy Spirit. And so that's a new adventure. It's a high adventure. And when I'm in the waters of the Holy Spirit swimming in there, is that I have to have my trust and my dependence upon the Lord, and then I will find that I am capable of doing what God wants me to do. Waters to swim in, full of authority. Oh, how the church is to be a church of authority. A church of authority. It's not manipulation, but it's authority. And this is what we've been seeing here, since the conference began, is that the authority that God has given His people, authority over demons, authority over sickness, authority over disease. We need to take our authority. Being men and women of authority, knowing who we are in Christ and what we are in Christ. I recognize, too, that God has designed me to live in the kingdom of God. Praise the Lord. God created us for kingdom living. Amen? And if we don't allow ourselves to be living stones in the kingdom of God, we don't function the way that God wants us to function. This is part of the purpose for deliverance ministry. It's to set us free from these things that hinder us, but put us into a place where we can function well in the body of Christ, knowing how to function. Amen? So many times we see that believers really don't know how to live. Are you with me? I'm not hearing a whole lot of response on that. But nevertheless, we don't really know how to live in God's kingdom. Many believers are not kingdom-minded. God wants to change us. He wants us to truly be children of the kingdom. What is kingdom living? Kingdom living is learning how to rule and reign with Christ. The Word of God says that we are more than overcomers in this life. We can sing the song, we can read the Word, but when push comes to shove, how many of us are really overcomers? See, this is one of the problems that there is in the church, is that we know how to talk the talk. We know how to demonstrate. We know how to do a lot of these things. But it hasn't become a practical reality in our lives. The Word of God says, I'm an overcomer. That's the truth, isn't it? I am an overcomer. But when something comes in our path that we need to overcome, how successful are we in really overcoming what it is that we are supposed to overcome? And so as we are in the kingdom, and as the Lord was sharing with me this morning, learn how to live with me, is that we need to be like Peter. is that there's a terrible storm. Jesus was walking on the water. Peter is wondering who it was. And he questions the Lord and says, if you are the Lord, have me come to you. And of course, the Lord said, come. And so Peter got out of the boat and he walked on the water. Now, walking on the water is that he had his eyes upon the Lord. He had faith in what the Word of God said. And, of course, he was an overcomer. But when doubt or fear or trepidation sets in, well, then, of course, he sank. But nevertheless, is that God says you're going to meet circumstances in life. There are going to be the storms of life. There are going to be the trials and the troubles and the tribulations. But how well you respond during this time of trouble really depicts whether you are an overcomer in the body of Christ. He wants us to learn how to overcome the circumstance. Overcoming faith. Overcoming word. Overcoming life. Being that overcomer. And putting the Word of God into practice in our own life. As I mentioned earlier, is that God wants us to reign with Him. He's the ruler, but we reign with Him. We are sharing the authority. We are sharing the purpose. We are sharing the life of Christ, not only with ourselves, but as we read in Matthew, you go into all the world and preach and teach the gospel. That's reigning with Him. And how the Lord wants us to learn how to reign, learn how to work with Him, learning how to walk with Him, learning how to let Him minister to us. And as the word of the Lord came to the lady in the back there, is saying that He was putting her on the potter's wheel, we know that this is surely scriptural. But God desires to put every one of us on the potter's wheel. He desires to reshape. He desires to mold us. He desires to put us into that place where we become the vessels of God that are of good service within the kingdom of God. I know, too, is that the Lord has been working in my life and certainly in the lives of others, is from what I've been hearing, is that He does not want us to be religious, but He wants us to be real. You know, we spoke about the phoniness and such things as in the lives of people or in denominations or what have you, but God wants us to be so real. Now, it's not the reality of my own personal personality, but it's the reality of Christ's personality working through me. The reality of Christ's personality working through me. He does not want me to be religious, but He wants me to be real. Amen? He wants me to be real. Now, this is not a license to go off and do your own thing. This is not a license for you to act corny. It's not a license for you to do whatever the impulse may tell you that you might want to do. Reality is letting the reality of the Holy Spirit, the reality of Christ, work in your life. And this is where the Lord is bringing us to, is to know His reality and putting on His reality, displaying and living His reality. See, divine healing is real, isn't it? Deliverance is real. Prophecy is real. Signs, wonders, and miracles, they're real. That's the reality. That's living in the real kingdom of God. The Lord is working on us in the kingdom of God is to have the right attitudes. You know, even in a ministry such as this, many wrong attitudes. People come in loaded with wrong attitudes. And we display these wrong attitudes, even in a ministry such as this. But if we are kingdom-minded, kingdom-oriented, is that we are having that willingness to be shaped by the hand of God, not only to be real, but allow the Lord to change our attitudes. The Lord doesn't want me to have the attitude of selfishness. He doesn't want me to have that attitude of pride. He doesn't want me to have that attitude that I'm more spiritual than somebody else. And so, in kingdom living, the Lord teaches us that we are to go after and obtain the right attitudes. Jealousy. I think this is a confession that this is the first time I ever made this confession. But there was a time in my life and where I was jealous of other pastors, jealous of other preachers, jealous of other ministries. Why was I jealous? Well, because I felt like I didn't have the same capabilities that they did. I felt like they were more successful than I was. But I praise God that He's able to take away the roots of being jealous of other ministries, jealous of other people's success, jealous of what God has done in their lives, and to be real, because God is taking me and He is shaping me into that man of God that He wants me to be. And it's an interesting thing is that when you're on the potter's wheel, is that He doesn't make a bunch of duplicates. Each one is an original. Each one is fashioned in the ways of God. We're unique. Amen? I appreciate the uniqueness of the Holy Spirit that's in me. I appreciate the uniqueness of the Holy Spirit that's in God. I appreciate the uniqueness of the Holy Spirit that is in Linda. See, now, every one of us has a uniqueness about them. And because we are unique, is that I can develop the attitudes that God wants me to have for the uniqueness that He has created within me. Also, in the kingdom of God, that you have a God of relationship. And the Lord spends just an abundance of time, even in my life, of wanting me to have a better relationship with Him. You know, you can preach the Word, you can prophesy, you can lay hands on the sick, you can do all these things. But it's a personal relationship between me and God that is very important. What is my relationship? Am I rebellious toward Him? Do I appreciate the work of God in my life? Do I honor Him? Do I extol Him? What do I do with my life toward God? God gave us His Son, Jesus. He gave everything that He had to establish a basis for a good relationship with His people. And the Lord is really speaking to the church. He says, as I gave my only Son, are you willing to give yourself to the Lord? Are you willing to give unto the Lord yourself? And so that there can be that right relationship. And so, as we are sharing these things here today, is that God is working in the hearts of men. He's working in your heart. He's working in my heart. But we come right back to that point in where the Lord wants us to love one another. God is love, as we shared earlier. The Bible is just full of scripture and evidence of the love that He has toward us and how He wants us to love Him. And so as we started out earlier, is that the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, it's peace, it's joy in the Holy Spirit. It's learning how to surrender, learning how to die to self, learning how to take on the character of Christ, learning how to be disciplined by the hand of God, allowing Him to put us on the potter's wheel, not resisting but yielding, not being hearers of the Word of God only, but also being doers for the Word of God. And so when we put ourselves in this particular kind of framework, there is a love that begins to flow from us. And then there is that love that flows from Him to us. And we don't have to be the big man on campus. We don't have to be competitive. We don't have to try to make our name known or see who could outdo one another. But we simply let God rule and reign in our lives. In closing, I would just like to share with you that my wife has loved the Lord almost all her life. And I came into salvation when I was about 19 or 20 years of age, maybe 21. And I always considered my wife more spiritual than me. She was the spiritual giant in the family. And that I was willing to yield spiritual leadership to my wife as far as, getting the kids to Sunday school, going to church, and things like this. But Jane has a lot of wisdom about her. And so she refused to take that authority. It came right back to me. This is where it belonged in the first place, and this is where it should reside now. And so I had a difficult time because I knew she knew more about the Bible than I did. I knew that she had more Christian education than what I did. And so in one sense, I felt spiritually inferior. I felt inferior because I was married to a woman who was so much more spiritual than what I was. But see, God in His mercy and God in His grace and God in His love is that He wanted me to be the priest in my own household. He wanted me to be the spiritual leader in my household. He was interested in that relationship. And so God got a hold of me and He says, there has to be a relationship change between you and me, and there has to be a relationship change between you and your wife. A change of relationship. I was willing to concede spiritual authority. I was willing to concede. But God was not willing to concede it. He says, you must be the priest in your household. Why didn't He know how to be a priest? What do I do to be a priest? What's required of a priest? This kind of thing. And so God can tell us something, but then we have to sort of wade through and to discern and to work with as to how God wants to implement this in our lives. And so this is part of the potter's process and where He will implement the ability. He will implement the Word. He will implement the desire in our hearts and lives to become what He wants us to be. And this is the truth of the Holy Spirit. The baptism of the Holy Spirit guides and leads us into all truth. And so it was not that I was just purposing that I was going to be the priest in the household, is it? But God, just in His grace and His love and His majesty, is that He just brought me to that place and where I did become what He wanted me to be. It's not that I fully attained, but I did become what He wanted me to be. And so that improved the relationship between my wife and I because I was willing to take my rightful place. And then secondly, is that my relationship with God improved and increased. And I had faith in God. And you know, the Lord even has faith in me. You say, well, that's a prideful statement. No, it's not. I asked the Lord one time, I said, Lord, why do you use me in the area of prophecy the way that you do? I was just inquiring of the Lord. And he says, because I trust you. Isn't that something? Because I trust you. He has confidence in the gift of the grace. He has confidence in this vessel. Confidence. Now, this does not mean that God trusts me in every aspect or part of my life. I'm certain that he does not. But in the area of my life, like with prophecy or whatever else, is he says, I trust you. And when we have that relationship of trust, man, we can just march into the kingdom, can't we? Go through the kingdom and let the Lord just minister to us just in the way that he desires to. So, kingdom living. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Praise God. Well, Father, we thank you for this time together this morning, and we just thank you for the sharing of your love and sharing of your life and the purpose that you have for the church here on this earth. And as it is spoken, we know that you can come any time that you want to, but you're not coming for a bride that is with spot, wrinkle, or blemish or any such thing, but you're coming for a bride that is spotless, bride that is clean, a bride prepared. So Lord, let the preparation begin in me. Let the preparation begin in each one of us here in this room here today. And may we go after the whole counsel of the Lord, and may we pursue you as you pursue us. And so Lord, we thank you that you have brought us out of darkness on into light. We thank you that you have placed your Spirit within us. We thank you that you watch over us. We thank you that you deliver, that you touch, and you heal. And so now, even as we pray over these letters, there are many needs that are in the lives of people. And we don't pray over these letters just for a show or to let you know how spiritual we are or somebody else how spiritual we are. But may we pray over these letters knowing that you will do good works for those that are calling out to you for your helping hand. And so I speak blessings upon this ministry here. I speak blessings upon the speakers, upon each one that is here. Lord God, release the abilities, release the authority, release the life, release the purpose. Father, let us be real, as you will let us be real. And may we have that desire just to be real in the kingdom of God. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Larry. Appreciate it. Thank you for coming and being with us and ministering to us this morning. Now, before Irma comes with a prayer request, if any of you have any others that you would like for us to pray over, why, okay, I'll come walk down and collect them up here in a minute. But we're going to stand and praise the Lord and liven up a little bit here. And Brother Jerry's going to come and lead us in.
Stand with me, please, and sing, He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge. refuge and my portion. My God, in you will I trust, and I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my portion. My God, in you will I trust. You like that one? That's what the man's talking about, isn't it? Amen. Come on. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my portion. My God, in you will I trust, and I will say of the Lord, you are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in you will I trust.
All right, you may be seated. And now, these prayer requests, just each one that we have, just consider that if it were your request, and pray with us over it. Now, there are a lot of requests here that are for families and all of that on that line. So I'm going to bring this box over here. See, it says birthing box on it, see? And that's for families. And for 2 years ago, Robert Cameron got that and said he wanted us to put request of families in there and call it the birthing box, and then to pray over it from time to time. And so we're going to, when we get through praying over these requests that are here, we'll add them to that box. And then when we get through, the last thing we're going to do today, I'm going to pray over that box. Okay? Stand, all of us, and I'm going to pray over all these families and children and come against the suing demon. And demon.
Yes.
There's a suing demon in the land.
Oh, boy.
There is. Father, you know all about it.
Yes, you do.
Father, you know all the families that's represented in this box. Families from all over this nation are represented here,
yes,
Father.
Yes.
Father, we ask you and thank you for the privilege we have to lift them up before you, for the angel of the Lord to go forth to bring conviction and cause them to repent. To
yes.
Children, Father, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, husbands, wives, mothers and fathers, aunts and uncles, the whole realm of the family, Father, is represented in this box and in these other requests that are here this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the angel of the Lord. We bind that spirit of rebellion and rejection of God. We lose conviction, Father, to come by the Holy Ghost. If they'll be convicted of their sins, repent and call on the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you for the angel of the Lord to torment them in the night season and in the daytime till they repent of the other sins. We thank you for it. Father, we come in the name of Jesus and against the suing demons.
Yes.
I bind and break your assignment over the hills and over others that are being sued for various reasons. We break the assignment of it over God's people. We loose them from it in the name of Jesus and speak to the mind and to the nerves of all this, that this causes a frustration. And all, Father, we rebuke that in Jesus' name, and we ask for counsel and wisdom. We ask for guidance and direction. We'll be able to give counsel, and that those who need counsel will receive the right counsel, and you supply the right attorney, and then cause it to come to naught. We thank you for it, Father, and we praise you for it. Now, Father, all these needs and these requests that have been listed and prayed over this morning, and even maybe some that Irma has missed, Father, we lift them before you. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege to come and to be intercessors. Your word says you're looking for intercessors to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. We've come to stand in the gap today to make up the hedge in behalf of these needs.
Yes. Thank you for hearing our petitions, for you said that if we come in the name of Jesus, you'd hear and answer our petitions, and we've come in His name, that name to which all knees shall bow, which every tongue shall confess, and which we do confess, that He is Lord. We thank you for the privilege we've had, Father, to be intercessors in behalf of these needs, and we commit them to you. Thank you, Father, for taking care of them. Send the angel of the Lord, whatever's needed. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.